TR and 4ZLK. Pro TR and 4ZLK. Base KX and 4ZLK. 4ZLK mobile.
ZLK, 4CHY, Haven Chain.
Starting to think nobody wanted to talk to me. Or everybody had just turned it off and gone to bed tonight.
Not heard anything since the net, come to think of it. I was sitting here texting back and forth with a friend of mine in New Mexico. He's trying to get me to come out there.
Him up on that. I bet it's pretty out that way.
House, they've got like, you know, three wall views or three window views, three different directions of nothing but mountain ranges. So it's always like a postcard when he sends me a picture over.
I have a brother that lives in Utah. He's near Salt Lake City, but he's far enough out, and he is constantly canyoneering and hiking and climbing, and he's invited us out. We're not real close. Just the way it is, things are, and we'd like to go, but it's, I don't know, we might get out there one day, but it looks beautiful.
Roger that. Yeah, we've been friends since high school, from in Baton Rouge, and they moved out to New Mexico, I guess, probably 5 or 6 years ago now. They were both able to retire early, and they bought some property out there and been there ever since, and they love it, and, yeah, I don't know that I'd want to go right now because he's been posting snow pictures, but in the summer and springtime, it's beautiful.
You know, I think of New Mexico, I think hot, but I guess in the mountain ranges, it's probably, good. Did you say snow? There was a lot of snow?
He posted one just a couple of days ago that I imagine they had a good 6 or 8 inch dusting.
8 inches is not a dusting around here.
Yeah, that's, you know, hence my reluctance to go out there this time of year.
One day when I retire, we can do some traveling. That would be a lot of fun. I'd like to see some of this country. There's a lot of beautiful areas around.
And that's kind of what we're planning to. We're hoping to have a camper here before too much longer, and that would be one of the first trips probably that we did, you know, and I was just telling him it'd be at least a 2-week vacation because it's, you know, going to be like 3 days each way, you know, so 6 days total of driving, you know, and staying overnight and getting up and doing it again. Yeah, it's going to be at least a 2 if not 3 week vacation.
Sure, yeah, you can't rush something like that. We went to Alaska a couple years ago, and one of our sons and his fiance at the time, or girlfriend at the time, she's his wife now, but they were both working out there, and one of my daughters worked there too in Valdez during the summertime, and we stayed a week, but we flew out there, but man, that week wasn't even long enough, but it was absolutely gorgeous. If you ever get a chance, everybody should do something like that.
One on my bucket list too. My little brother lives in Maine, and we've been up there several times, and probably we'll do another trip up that way. And that's usually we do a 2 week vacation on that one too, because there's cool places to stop on the way, like, you know, D.C. and New York City and stuff like that. Kind of seeing the things along the way, and then we'll spend a week or so with him, and then kind of meander back down this way. Or
if you got time to do that, just take the slow way home and see some of the sights. He is an outdoor person, and he took they call it an outdoor leadership program over in North Greenville. They got a lot of certifications in swift water rescue, and then they did a lot of sea kayaking and whitewater kayaking and flatwater canoeing, things like that. And one of the books he read was written by an explorer back in the early 1900s. And he recommended you don't go see Alaska as a young man because it will ruin it. for everything else the rest of your life. And he said he agrees with that because now he compares everything to Alaska.
Imagine that. Yeah, in fact, I had a roommate, and as you know, she actually did like 2 years or so in Alaska tent camping. And I could not do it, but she is, you know, probably would have been voted the one most likely to do it in our group. Over.
The mindset, I mean, even people who you think would be outdoors kind of people, you know, you got to have that mindset because it can get cold and miserable quickly.
Really impressed with her ventures. You know, more power to her. I could not do that. I guess a little too soft for that. Over.
There, they took us on a sea kayaking expedition, and you know, we're in the water. The water is about 1,000 feet deep. Of course, we didn't know it. You know, tried not to think about that. Iceberg floating around, and right there in the Columbia Sound. Absolutely gorgeous. It was the middle of August. And on the water there, it was like 30, 33, 34 degrees. We're all bundled up. My son's there in a t-shirt, you know, because he's been there for a while and he's all acclimated. But it was just, he can't stand hot weather now. But we had a blast. It was definitely worth it. And for ZLK.
For CH while returning, yeah, my little brother's like that up in Maine now. He got acclimated to that pretty quickly. And, in fact, we're going back to the farm tomorrow to visit with him a little while before they head back home. And, he is not a fan of this weather anymore, and he was born here just like I was.
Bodies can get used to some pretty differences in temperatures, you know. It's just what you get used to, and again, there's a mindset, too. If you think you're going to be cold and miserable, you are going to be cold and miserable.
Roger, I guess being prepared for something like that, too, is that'll definitely give you a leg up. I know we've got Sam, my little brother, used to be stationed in Norfolk, and he'd come out here every chance he got. And we used to do a lot of hiking, and there was a couple of times we got in a situation to where it was a little cooler than we thought it was going to get. And then we went up to Whitewater Falls one time, and it snowed, like, just across the line. And we were tromping around Whitewater Falls, and it was just the opposite. We were tromping through snow that was over waist deep and had to pull the flannel shirts off because we were about to burn up. It got up to, like, in the low 70s that day.
Nice thing about being around this area is you may get snow, and it may be snow, you know, snow all night, but it can also be 70 degrees that next day. I remember, you know, we get a lot of snow, and it gets, our companies will pile it up in, you know, in the parking lots, and then 2 days later, we're up in the 60s, close to 70, but there's this big pile of snow sitting over there because it's so cold, stacked up so high, it takes weeks to melt.
Well, that trip to Whitewater, we were actually prepared for that one, and just getting out of the car, we peeled the jackets off immediately and had, like, you know, flannel shirts and stuff on, and we were going up the trail from the lookout up to the river, and that's where we hit the, like, snowdrifts where it was waist deep, and ended up going through that stuff and peeling the flannel shirts off and tying them around our waist, and yeah, everything, by the time we started out of there, everything was getting really wet. And but yeah, it was a fun time tromping through the snow, and it almost, you know, 72 degrees.
I'm trying to think if I've been to Whitewater Falls. I know I've heard of it. Is that the one you go down 11 and go up 130 or something like that?
Yeah, you go up 11 and... I don't think it's 130. It's, yeah, instead of going to, like, towards Highlands, you go towards Cashiers. It's like 107, I believe.
Maybe thinking of a different one. But yeah, I know my kids have been there. They've talked about it. Isn't there, like, an upper and a lower falls there, too?
The Upper Falls, that's usually where we went to. We've been to Lower Falls, well, a view of Lower Falls. You have to go to Bad Creek to get to Lower Falls, and it's kind of just a lookout point. But you go up 107, and it basically crosses the North Carolina border, and I think the highway number changes, but it's just above the border there.
I was down in the hole crossing the lake down here on 85. I missed the first part of that, but I think we're talking about the same one, but I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, we keep talking about going up there, but there are so many waterfalls around, and there's still a lot to see. So my wife and I are planning on, we moved out where we are, and we can pull out of our driveway, and we're probably 30 minutes from several waterfalls. It's just a matter of doing it. But, you know, grandkids come along, and we always want to do stuff with them, too. So we haven't had a chance to get out and explore like we wanted to.
And even in North Carolina, KJ4WVM, it stays 107 all the way up towards Cashers.
Daniel, is it US 107 then?
North Carolina Highway 107 and North Carolina Highway 107. The sign shape changes. South Carolina's got the Palmetto State symbol, or South Carolina State outline on it or whatever, and North Carolina has the white diamond. But both highways chose the same state highway number, but it's a state highway, not a U.S. highway.
Actually, I did not realize that. I was thinking it changed numbers anyway. It was funny because when we lived in Fountain Inn, my little brother was stationed in Charleston, and he used to do the same thing. He'd come up, and we'd go basically waterfall hunting, and so we covered, you know, northern Greenville and some of the western Carolinas, and then when we moved over here, he was stationed in Norfolk, and he'd do the same thing, and we explored Oconee and Pickens and more of the western North Carolina. So, yeah, we had a good time through those times.
Good to hear you again. Yeah, there's this whole area up along the mountains there. There's some beautiful, beautiful waterfalls, beautiful places to see.
And one more little note about highway numbers. There looks like it changes to Highway 281. That one is further to the east, and then further to the west, the other way that I go up into there. Instead of going 107 to Cashers, I also take 28 to Highlands, and that's another number that stays the same. That 28 goes into Georgia and then goes into Highlands, North Carolina, and it maintains number status as it changes state lines as well.
That's really interesting. We didn't go up that way much. We always... Of course, we lived in Wahala a long time, too, so we just head up 11 and split off at 107 there and head up that way. But, used to love doing that, especially with him, you know, coming out. We got to spend a lot of time together while he was in the Navy.
I need to call you if you got a call. I realized I had your call in my phone. I kept hitting to call you by accident, so just ignore that. N4ZLK.
My phone goes into do not disturb mode anyways at 10 o'clock, so it didn't even ring or show that you called. And it looks like there's actually some sort of problem on Highway 130 right now. They've got the road closed up there by the Bad Creek Reservoir. 130 is closed by the reservoir. I don't know what happened. Interesting. But those roads up there... 130, 107, and 28. In the summertime, I like to ride my motorcycle up that way. It's really, really nice.
I have not had a bike since I lived up here, and about every year goes by, I wish I did, because, I used to love doing that, but I didn't, where I was getting curvy roads at, I didn't have the mountains to play on, so, I just found the best flat curvy roads I could, and the places I lived at, Baton Rouge and Savannah, and that's the best I could do for it.
I know what you mean. I used to have a bicycle a long time ago, back when I was in Simpsonville. I'd ride around there, and it's not like it is up here. It's just kind of flat, and there's some curvy roads, and they're fun to go through fast, but it just ain't the same as it is playing in the hills on a bike at all. There's just something about it that's completely and totally different. I tell you what, the curviest road I've been on is that that Tail of the Dragon road up there on the North Carolina-Tennessee border. That's really fun.
Was answering a text. Voice texting, of course, while I'm driving. I don't type it out by hand. But yeah, that 130, I was getting that confused. 107 and 28, don't they split off from each other? Down there above Walhalla somewhere?
To the state line, not far from it at all. Let's see, I'm trying to remember. I think it does, and it's only a few minutes from, trying to remember the name of that rock, Ellicott's Rock, where all the state lines meet. It's just a few minutes from there that the road splits.
Roger, that is right. Yeah, that's the way we used to go. It was 28 107, not 11. We come back 11 from time to time. But yeah, obviously I hadn't been up that way in a while.
At the Burles Ford there in Chattooga River, and we did a lot of camping and fishing up there. And I think we would split off onto 107. You'd go off to the right off of 28. I think that's correct. There was a little general store that used to be some music they would play there at the split. Some little general store. I don't even know if it's open anymore.
I don't think that it is, because when I went through there, I don't remember there being a store, and I think there would have been a lot of activity there if there had been, because that's really, if there's a store there, I need to go back and look at a map real quick to see if there is, but if there's a store there, that's the only one, because one thing I remember about that area is there's not even houses out there. There's nothing out there at all. You don't see mailboxes. You don't see a whole bunch of power lines going down the road. It's just really quiet. Just forest is all you see.
For CHY, yeah, there was a restaurant there at the split. It was a steakhouse that did pretty good there for a while. I don't know if they're open anymore either. Like I said, I hadn't been up that way since before COVID, I guess. So I don't know if they made it through COVID, but it was a pretty decent little steakhouse.
I remember there was something there, and it wasn't every night. I think probably on the weekends. I heard they played bluegrass there. But if I was up there on the weekend, I was usually down on the river. We were camping, and it's primitive camping down there, so you'd have to hike in, carry everything, and we just spent a few days fishing and doing nothing else but fishing and laying in the hammock.
Yep, the store's still there. Actually, I just now looked at a map and realized I know where this is. Yes, the store is still there. It's called Mountain Rest Cafe. There's a Dollar General right next to it as well. And I used to work for the beverage company, Greenco Beverage. And that was our farthest out stop, was that little general store up there. That's a pretty neat little place. It's pretty quiet through there. But after you get out past there, that's when it gets really, really, really quiet. I'm trying to remember, there's another road split that I was thinking of somewhere, and I'm trying to remember where that was. But there was nothing at that road split. I think I found it.
There's, off 107 there, you come across a little pull-off where there's a nice view of one of the watersheds, and I don't remember the name of it either. And to give you an idea how long it's been, I don't believe the Dollar General was there when we used to go up through there.
I was thinking, and it's been several years since I've been up to the Chattooga there, but there was no Dollar General then.
It's really, really, really new, and that reservoir you're thinking of is the Bad Creek Reservoir. I think that's also a hydroelectric dam site for Duke Energy. if I'm not mistaken, I think it eventually drains down into Joe Cassie. Yep, it does. I'm looking out at a map right now. I'm cheating. But that, that overlook would be right by Highway 130. There's a cut-through road that right by that overlook and stuff. There's a cut-through road that goes between 130 and 107 up there called Wigginton Road. And from highway, from that road there, Wigginton Road, all the way down, almost halfway back to Salem, that highway is closed right now on 130.
In 4CHY, yeah, and Bad Creek is actually a storage lake. I don't know if y'all know it, but they will use the turbines and pump water back up into Bad Creek, and then at peak times, they run it back through the turbines to generate extra power. And I think the one that I'm talking about is, it was just a watershed. I'm looking for it now on the map. Quenching.
Do that with the water. Reuse it like that. That's recycling the lake water for energy. I like that. And you're right, it's a beautiful, beautiful area. We've got a, well, you know, there's a reservoir behind Table Rock. They've got that all fenced off. And I believe that's what services Pickens, the city of Pickens. You can see it, obviously, if you're up on the mountain, Table Rock, looking down into it. Water, though, not for power.
I like Table Rock Reservoir. Have either one of y'all ever hiked to the top of Table Rock and looked down into it?
It's been a couple of years, but I've been up there.
I have not.
Like physically impaired or whatever, that hike is definitely, definitely worth it. You gain about a half a mile in elevation above the surrounding area. The ground is roughly 2,000 feet, and you go up to about 1,000 feet. The ground is roughly 1,000 feet around the mountain. You go up to about 3,200 feet, I think, maybe 3,300 feet. And then the lake is right below the mountain, so you're like more than 2,000 foot above the water looking down, and it's pretty neat. You can see the whole reservoir. And across it, directly across it, is Caesar's Head.
Ravencliff Mountain, which is, you see the back side of it or the front side of it, the waterfall is on the back side of it, but you can see the actual mountain from the top of Table Rock there.
Neat. I didn't realize that. That's tucked in behind Caesar's Head. Is Ravencliff Mountain in South Carolina or North Carolina?
Yes, and it's just to the west of Caesar's Head. You follow the ridge around. And it's on our side of Caesar's Head, or the southern side of Caesar's Head. Follow the mountain range, and a little cliff circles back around. The mountain backs around it, and the waterfall actually faces towards Caesar's Head range.
Pretty neat. I've gone to hike it before, but we had severe thunderstorms that downed a bunch of trees up there. And they had most of the trails closed, so I couldn't go hardly anywhere up there at all. They had almost everything shut down when I went to go hike that. I was kind of disappointed.
I miss going up there. We used to hit all around that area. We went to Table Rock, but we never went to the top of it for some reason. My wife and I used to like to go up to Bald Rock a lot back when I worked second shift. I'd get off work and we'd head up there and build a campfire and hang out on the side of the mountain and head back down and go back to the house.
Rock too, but you know they won't let you be out there after dark anymore. The state park system has taken it over, and if they catch you out there, they'll give you a ticket.
Well, they did really deface the property. There was like thousands and thousands and thousands of, probably tens of thousands or more of different pieces of graffiti art, and then like 20 cars at the bottom of the hill.
rumors that some of those cars is like, you know, like really old, you know, probably like 30s and 40s type stuff.
I think some of them were burned and tossed down there. Or when they went down there, they got burned. I went down there and looked at them one time. I've also heard rumors since then, and I haven't been back down there to confirm it, but I've also heard rumors since then that they pulled some of that stuff out.
I'd go in there to look at the stars or if we'd have meteor showers, but now I know they do it deep time, the holidays and stuff. They'll go out there and look for people. You know, if they see any cars, they'll go out there and ticket you. I'm sure on just a regular night, you might be able to get away with it, but they'll drive by, and if they see a vehicle, they'll come out looking for you, which is a shame to me. I like going out there when it's dark. You've got a good view of the sky. But I'm going to make this my last one because I'm almost at the weigh station here in Georgia, and I'll lose it. Good to talk to both of you, Keith. And Daniel, you have a good evening. It's for the right one. N4 is that LK. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Be careful out there, and we'll catch you on your way back through sometime. Yeah, and that's disappointing about them running you off at night, because that was, even when we didn't go to Camp Pro, like you said, just going out there and sitting and looking at all the stars, it was some nice, peaceful times, great for unwinding after a long second shift. Go ahead, Dave.
Out there way too many times to even count now. We used to go out there, like he said, for meteor showers and different stuff like that. I also used to like to go out there on really, really cold nights when the Arctic air would come in and the sky would be super, super clear. But boy, was it windy and cold. I used to go out there and look at the stars then too. It was super nice.
Yeah, we definitely enjoyed that time. And, you know, usually, well, a lot of times we'd be up there so late that, you know, it wouldn't be but us and maybe another couple or two roaming in and out or another small group roaming in and out, and that'd be about it.
Bald Rock, I don't even have the daytime pictured at all. The only time that I have ever been to Bald Rock in the daytime is when I went to explore what was down at the bottom of it and found all those wrecked cars. Other than that, all my times at Bald Rock have all been at night. What a shame they closed it off. I've been probably 30-plus times at night.
Here, it was mostly at night, and the only time we go during the day is on the trips when little brother would come through. If we were going up that way, we'd always stop at Bald Rock because you know, nice little scenic stop before we continued on to wherever we were hiking that day. And, really enjoyed that place. I never went down to the bottom. We had hiked down over on that right side. I guess that's how you get to the bottom. I don't know, but we'd hiked down quite a ways, but it was, you know, again, really late, and we needed to get back to the house, so we turned around and came back.
Way, way, way far out to the right, and then it goes back to the left again. You kind of make a sideways V-shape to go down the hill because the center of it is way too steep. So you go out to the right and then back to the left, and then you go straight down. It's straight down at that point. But you have trees and bushes and things to kind of hold on to as you go down that have grown up through the cracks in the rocks. And that's what the cars were caught in too. They'd slam through the first few of them and then stop as they got farther on down. But that's where they were all at, caught in the trees.
Tell that from looking at them at the top too. That was, again, fun times. And that's kind of like what we were wanting to do is kind of case out the joint for going all the way down, but just never made it down there. We ended up moving over here and didn't get back over that way much anymore.
From Seneca, not too bad, though. Once you get over to West Union, it's pretty much a straight shot down the low, and it don't take that long to get there, probably 40 minutes.
Factor is, I've been over here for 27 years now, so we were young and very capable back then, and not as much anymore, over.
I know what you mean. I'm going to close out my young and very capable years here before too much longer. I'm still pretty young, pretty capable, but I'm more through, I've concluded more of my young, capable years than I have left at this point. I'm 28, so double that, I'll be almost 60.
After that, we used to like go up Whitewater and climb. I mean, we would do that a couple of times a year. Especially when the brother was coming out here. And enjoyed it while we could. So we got the memories of it now, and don't do much of it anymore. Still wouldn't mind doing an occasional day hike, but we hadn't done anything in a long time.
A great day hike for you to do. It is best done. I'll just tell you this now. It's best done in the wintertime on a weekday. The reason being, in the summertime, and even in the winter on a weekend, unless the weather is terribly cold or something to make people want to stay inside, that trail is so crowded. You cannot get up and down it without just having to push your way through people. That place gets absolutely mobbed now, senselessly mobbed, and I don't understand it. Why, I don't know. Just, that's what they do. I used to go out there sometimes and trail run, but it got to be so bad I'd have to pick when I went so that I could try to avoid all the people. Just way too many of them. And it's bad because in some areas of that trail, it's only like single file line wide. So then you have to figure out how to get past all the people, because there's people going up and people going down, and people being loud and people wanting to have a quiet time and not being able to get one. And it's just, I wouldn't say that most of the time it's a great experience anymore, because it's just become too popular. But I do have some good memories there of times that I went when there was less people.
That's what we try to do too. When he'd come out, I'd take a couple of days off, and we'd do just that and go to all the different places during the week. And every now and then we'd hit a weekend and hit some crowded spots, but yeah, most of the time it was pretty quiet. Even during during nicer months, it was still much nicer on weekdays than it was weekends.
Have you ever been to Chimney Rock in North Carolina?
That one a couple of times.
I've went and done Chimney Rock before. Hiked all the way up and all the way back down. By the time I finally got over to Chimney Rock, they had closed the hiking trail with a really, really nice view. They had just closed it where you couldn't go see it anymore. The waterfall overlook and stuff. But after I did the hike, went over to Lake Lure and kayaked the whole thing. That was pretty neat.
Pull no biathlon like that, but we did hike the entire thing. That would have been back in probably early 90s when we went up there.
Last time I was up there was probably 2020. But when I went in 2018 or 2019, at that point, the waterfall trail had just been closed. You couldn't go to the overlook anymore.
I didn't realize they closed part of it off. Had it gotten, like, unsafe or something?
Their claim about it. People could... You weren't allowed to hike it anymore. I believe that the trail was not impassable. They just thought that it was unsafe for people or something like that.
Roger. I know there was a couple of spots there that you'd basically be hugging a rock wall to get through. So I'm guessing that was the area in question, but I don't know.
Correct. the rest of the trail now is really, really, really wide. The part they do allow you on. And I ran on that. I had a good time. But it was really wide where I was at. And then as it narrowed up, they had just literally closed the trail. They put two state park people up there with a 2x4 constructed wooden fence right up there in the trail. And those people said, we closed the trail, it's permanently closed, no one's ever going to be able to hike past this point again, blah, blah, blah. And it looks like they had just put the thing up there. And that's why those two people were standing there. But they're like, you can't go that way anymore. And I was like, wait, what? I came up here to go see not Chimney Rock itself, but to go see the waterfall overlook, because I heard it was really impressive. And I went and seen Chimney Rock on my way to there, but I was kind of let down about it. They're like, yeah, you'll never be able to see it now.
CHY with KJ4WZM. Yeah, that is bad. So did they have like a detour around it then?
Stadium. No, they did not. It's you turn around and go back the way you came from.
Yeah, that's disappointing too, to have to double back on area you just covered. Man, I believe when we went up there, I think it was privately owned then. Isn't that correct? Wasn't it? Didn't it used to be privately owned and then the state bought it?
I know the state's got it now, but I'm not sure.
Mistaken, it used to be privately owned. I guess it's time to consult the Googles.
Earlier with the maps, I was somewhat familiar with the road names up there, but when I go up there, I don't really pay attention to highway numbers. I just know which road goes which way, and I just ride the bike, so I couldn't remember which highway was what. Huh.
And I could understand, on the bike, not paying attention to that. I sure do miss having mine, but it's probably a good thing I don't have that fast bike anymore. I got through it alive one time, so that's about the best I'd wish for them.
Heard that. I've had a good time on mine, but I've just not rode it all winter long now. Parked it as soon as it got cold.
Trying to find like a Wikipedia article on it. Here's one, I believe. See if I can find out. But yeah, I'm thinking when we were up there, it was privately owned back then. In 4CHY, yep, it says from 1902 to 2007, it was operated. It was bought in 1902 by Dr. Lucius B. Morse, purchased 64 acres at Chimney Rock, including the chimney and cliffs. Morse and his family owned and operated Chimney Rock Park as a privately managed park from 1902 to 2007.
Gotcha. So they sold it in 2007 then. It looks like that waterfall trail might be reopened at this point.
Yeah, maybe they went in there and put some work into it to where they could reopen it. Yes, it's 64 acres and many small tracts purchased over the years expanded the park to 996 acres. In 2006, it was put up for sale. I thought that was right, but I couldn't remember right off the top of my head.
And that town down there, I'll tell you what, that is a bustling little town.
After that, it says here, many fears the park might fall in the hands of private developers, but the state and the Morris family completed a purchase agreement in early 2007, and I remember all the uproar about people not wanting to go to developers.
I'm glad it didn't go to developers.
I mean, it's pretty much a natural wonder. It should definitely be preserved for everybody. You know, I got to get out of here. We got to get up early in the morning, get on the road. So, good talking to you and Shane, and we'll catch you again when we get back, I guess.
Sounds good, Liam. Well, safe travels to you, and we'll catch you later on down the log. KN4CHY, KJ4WZM. Good talking to you, Keith. We'll holler at you next time. 73. Good night.
Daniel, KN4CHY. Clear.